Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah. This segment is proudly brought to you by Capital Air.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to this program. Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madhahib al-Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. The date today is the 18th of Muharram, 1446, corresponding to their Gregorian calendar, the 25th of July, 2024. The 25th of July, 2024. Our topic today, interesting, and that is Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayh, his life and his contributions. So it is Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madhahib al-Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. And the program is about Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, who was born in Khayrul Qurun, but if you see the hadith, it says Khayru Ummati. And this was in that stages where Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam referred to as the best of stages. And Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh was born in that particular period. So we'll be discussing this here. You can send us your messages to 084-786-3132. If you're in a foreign country, +27 84 786 3132. Also, if you want our programming schedule, you can send us a request on there also. What makes this programming schedule nice also is if you press on that, there's a hand there. If you click on it, it will take you directly to our live stream and whichever program, you can listen to it live. So send us a message requesting that. Let's welcome our Honorable Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mufti Saab.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa zaid khan. Jazakallahu khairan.
As we said, the topic is on Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Mufti Saab, before we begin, what is Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh's name and when was he born?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 18th of Muharram, 1446. And when one studies the Noble Quran, you will see what Almighty Allah informs us in Surah Tawbah, chapter number 9 and verse number 122. وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافًا. It's not for all the believers, they all must go out in jihad and so forth. So always the jihad must continue, but not everybody goes same time. فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفًا. Why not? That from every big group, there should be one small group, ta'ifa. What must be that small group doing? لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. They must get tafaqquh fi deen, the deep, profound understanding of deen, of Islam. So if you study the word لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, it means that it's a continuous process. Second, it means that it is tafaqquh bab tafa'ul, which means it will come with a lot of sacrifices. Today people want to sit on their laurels and think of Hadi and think they'll study Islam, sit on the lazy boy with the internet. Nobody can understand Islam like that. You will become dwallu wa adwallu. You go astray and lead others astray. Lot of years, many, many years of sweat, tears, blood, all that have to be given. لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Then when you finish, then you must never say you alim, say you still student from the womb to the tomb, from the cradle to the grave, from the fountain to the mountain, from the mountain to the fountain. That is deen. Then, وَلِيُنْذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ. Then warn the people with love when you return to them. لَأَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ. So that they fear and they must realize their responsibilities. So that is what Quran Sharif taught us in Surah 9, verse number 122. Hadith Sharif, one hadith, there's so many, we'll just give one in Mishkat Sharif. Faqihun wahidun, one faqih, one jurors, one alim, one mufti, in the true sense of the word. Ashaddu ala shaitani min alfi abidin. He is more difficult upon the shaitan, Satan, Lucifer, that he leads him astray compared to Alf Abid, 1,000 worshippers. These 1,000 worshippers will know the basics of deen, but he will know, you must remember, that what to do at the right time, right place, and so forth. Subhanallah, that the Makkah Jamaat were here, four of them. And then I met them here in Sufi Masjid on Sunday night, you know. So subhanallah, then Monday I translated for them, you know. Or the Sunday night I translated. Then Monday I translated. Then I went to Umar Farooq, you know, Tuesday. Then Wednesday I didn't go, I had to go to Darum Zakaria. Today they're leaving, they're going to Markaz, and tomorrow they leave. So I went to the barber now by Bilal. I see the two of them are there. So I asked them, what you're doing here? He said, no, we're tip-top now. Tomorrow we're going home. I said, subhanallah. Al-jinsu yamirul jins. I like you, you like me, and we meet up at the barber shop, you see. So that is Allah Ta'ala's kudrat ka karishma. You must remember these type of things. Yeah. So now they're asking me questions. And now tomorrow we got flight. And it's Jummah time. Now what about Jummah Salat and so forth? So I explained to them, you musafir, and you know there is a musalla there, the airport. So if you got enough time, go there. Jummah, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, everything finished. No lecture and all those things there. So like that, and mashallah. So now when you study, so in time of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who were the fuqaha? So Mu'az bin Jabal, mu'a'lamuhum bil halali wal haram, the great jurors. Then you take, for example, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. You take, for example, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. You take, for example, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. So like that, Sayyidina Umar and others, you must remember. So they were the fuqaha and the great, great jurists of Islam, you must remember like that. Then it came to the tabi'een and so forth. Then it came to the others. So what we're going to do for the next 5-6 weeks now, we will discuss the great fuqaha of Islam. So we start with Imam Abu Hanifa. Chronologically, he's first among the four. So what is Imam Abu Hanifa's name, you ask? His name was Nu'man bin Thabit. So today, people who follow the Hanafi school, majority of them don't even know that his name is Nu'man bin Thabit. We should know all this. When was he born? He was born in the year 80 after Hijrah. He is min sigari tabi'in. He's a small tabi'i. He's a big faqih. But in the tabi'i rank, he is the small one. Small one meaning that he was very, very, you must remember, young when he met, you know, sahaba, like Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu and them. Anas bin Malik passed away there in Iraq in the year 93. So it shows at the time of his passing away, Imam Abu Hanifa was only 13 years old. So when he saw him, met him, whatever, so he was 10, 11, 12 years old. So that's what is meant by sigari tabi'in. And you must remember that, so that was how he grew up. And when he passed away, then he born in Kufa, but passed away in Baghdad. See his karamat of that time and one karamat of our time. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, passes away in Baghdad in jail and so forth. And the area where he is buried, you must remember, so that area was not called A'zamiyya, but his title is Al-Imam Al-A'zam. So there you must remember, after his demise, death, karamatan lihadal imam, Allah wants to honor him for the great, great sacrifices he made for the benefit of this ummah. So then they changed the name of that place and they called it A'zamiyya. And there's a wonderful book, you Mozaid, you should try and procure it, I have it here. Tariqul A'zamiyya, the history of A'zamiyya. And I went also with Allah's help. By Imam Sahib's grave and so forth, you understood? It's an ajib feeling when you go there, remember that. And thereafter, you must remember that, Imam, our Sheikh, Hazrat Sheikh Yusuf bin Nuri, rahimahullah, our Mawlana Qasim Sema's Ustad and so forth, and we studied in his madrasa. So you must remember, Hazrat Allah, we made Umrah in Medina and always Hajj also with Sheikh, you must remember. So Hazrat bin Nuri, 74, 75, and then 77, he passed away. So Sheikh Allama Yusuf bin Nuri, rahimahullah, when we were studying, the madrasa's name was Madrasa Arabiya Islamiya. After he passed away, then they changed the name, you see. They called it Bin Nuri Town. So in honor of this great muhaddis, remember. The people there around, they never even knew there's such a person like this. This is barakat of Tabligh Jamaat and all that. Now they're making qadr of such great jaya. Otherwise, Hazrat Binuri Janaza was not even so big. I was there. You must remember, not 100,000 and dust and all that. Now the ulama passed away, 100,000, 50,000 and that. Few thousand people were there. So you must remember that there's people, no qadr actually. But barakat of Tabligh Jamaat, then the qadr came, appreciation came and so forth and so on.
Mufti Sahib, we find that there, before we continue, there are two extremes. One extreme takes Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi to a higher level than his actual status, and the other are those who degrade him. How do we reconcile this?
Both sides. Therefore, in Arabic, we have a saying, Al-Jahilu imma mufritun or mufarritun. That the jahil person, you must remember, either he'll make ifrat or tafrit. Either you'll praise him so much, you'll make him even greater than Sahaba. That's wrong, obviously. And then the other side, the jahil people, they'll say Imam Abu Hanifa never knew hadith, he never knew Arabic, he never knew this, he never knew all the masalib, all the uyub, and all the objections they will raise. So that also is jahalat and so forth. So therefore, two examples we'll give you. We give you example, Nabi Isa alayhi salatu salam. You ask the Christians, so the Christians elevated him, they made him Ibnullah. The son of Allah, 100% kufr and blasphemy. Allah cursed them forever. Then you get the jutlas, the haramis. They said Ibn Zaniya, the son of a harlot, the son of a loose lady. Allah forbid. So Islam came and set the record straight. Nabi Isa alayhi salatu salam, mighty messenger of Allah Ta'ala, 25 times his name Nami Ismi Grami, mentioned in the noble Quran. And we must remember, he is a sign of Allah Ta'ala. His mother is a sign of Allah Ta'ala. 34 times Sayyidah Maryam's name is mentioned. Surah 19, comprising 98 verses dedicated to this pious sick great lady. And remember, wa ummuhu siddiqa, Surah Maryam, the only lady whose name is mentioned explicitly in the Quran. So that is what Islam does. Wa kadhalika ja'alnakum ummatan wasata. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an, you get two groups. Khawarij, they said, he's kafir out of the fall of Islam. So wadallahu wajahu, Allah forbid, Allah forbid. This is kufr what they said. And therefore, we say, karramallahu wajah, we say, radiallahu anhu. We say Haydar al-Qarrar, the lion, the Fatih al-Khaybar. Then you get the Kufar Shia who elevated him to greater than rank of Anbiya and Prophets and so forth. So remember, both sides are wrong. So we again, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Everything must be done in moderation. Moderation, not nowadays moderation. Nowadays when they say a politician or a person is moderate, it means they are sell out. You'll have wine and swine and all, and maybe mistake, you'll end up there in Jummah Salat or Eid Salat. I'm not speaking of that. Moderation in Islamic terminology means you don't elevate so high and you don't degrade also. Every human being today, we're not angels and anbiya, and we have mistakes, we commit sins. Imam Abu Hanifa, so many places you'll see as we go along, we'll explain that he also made mistakes in this sense. He made ruju and he withdrew his verdict and so forth. So how we can say that he's so great that you know that. So even say that Ali made mistakes and so forth. So how we can say that now they're like anbiya and prophets and messengers and all that. That's wrong, obviously.
Mufti Sahib, how did Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi acquire such knowledge, and who are his teachers?
So you must remember, one is Allah Ta'ala gives you Wahhabi. Wahhabi, that Allah Ta'ala wants to take work from you. So understood. So when Allah wants to take work from you, then Allah makes the asbab also. I give you 2-3 incidents. Then you will understand how he imbibed and acquired all this great, wonderful knowledge. Just listen to these 5 waqi'ats. One by one I'll give you. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, is 10 years old. How old? 10 years old. And you must write this book, this name down. You Suleiman also, and you Mazaid also. It's called The Wonders of Islam. It's an English book, you understood. But I'll just explain it in the detail. So there was a professor, a person, secularist, that our terminology nowadays. He would challenge the Sheikhul Tafsir, Sheikhul Hadith, the Fuqaha, and Baghdad. But really speaking, if we are honest, nobody could give satisfactory answer. This 10-year-old boy said, "Professor, you said the time, said the venue, me, I'm challenging you. I'm ready." People also got hayran, you know, they got perplexed. And now this youngster, what is he to do? The people came in their droves and also, now challenge is set. People are there. Right, Professor, start firing up. Professor is standing and everybody else is sitting. What is your Allah doing now, 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 now? So Imam Abu Hanifa told him, Nu'man bin Sabit, "Dad, sit down, sir, Professor." He sat down and he stood up. He asked, "You ask me what Allah did now. May Allah said, wa tu'izzu man tasha, wa tu'zillu man tasha. He gives honor to whoever he wishes and he disgraces whoever he wishes. He disgraced you, he made you sit, and he honored me, he made me stand. So that is what my Allah did now." Subhanallah. Not one of your sheikhs and ulama and then could answer you. So already he blew the wind out. What's your next question? He said, "Where is your Allah?" Professor asked, "Where is your Allah?" You see. So he said, "Who's got a candle here?" You know, load shedding. So we don't speak of load shedding now, we speak of our time. So when you have load shedding, then the houses, they look for candles and so forth. Or nowadays, torch or whatever, cell phone. So they have candles. So he said, "Who got candles?" So they have candles. He lit it, ignited it. He said, "Where's the smoke of this?" He said, "All directions." Say, "Zalim, you ask me where's Allah? Candle, the smoke goes all directions. You ask where's Allah? Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah's radiance, Allah's effulgence. You look at the sun, you look at the moon, you look at the stars. We can't even look in the sun. Where was I the other day? So I was driving, you must remember, and the sun was setting. I was just admiring it. I said, Ya Allah, kudrat ka karishma, you know. That if people look at that and still they can't believe in you, then they deserve to go to Jahannam forever. You must remember that. That is why it's adalam min Allah, the justice system of Allah Ta'ala. So like that here. So that professor was finished everything. So at the young, tender age, 10 years old, who was he? Nu'man bin Thabit. Who was he? Imam Abu Hanifa. Then he used to grow up, and he would not fear. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. When you have taqwa, Allah will teach you a lot of things. So the one person say, "I want to debate with you." So he is, this guy was a secularist, first one. Second one, atheist. He say, "I'm prepared to challenge with you. There is no such thing as Allah and God and what have you, Allah for burdens." So there's the one when if I say, "Okay, you must meet me there by the river," you see, Valdem, like that. So he came 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, whatever time. Imam Hanifa pitch up 3 o'clock. I'm just giving times, you know. So I asked him, "What's wrong with you? The people told me you're very intelligent. Today I realize what a fool you are. You come so late and all that." He said, "You know what happened?" He said that I was waiting for the boat, then no boat came. Then suddenly some pieces of plane came and they joined together. And then I jumped into it and then I came here. So that's why I got late. He said, "You expect me to believe such a fairy tale story?" He said, "You're not prepared to accept one boat can come into existence on its own. Then how does whole cone is Arabic. So, kaf, waw, noon. How does whole universe came into existence without the Khalik, without the Malik?" فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ. In 1 minute, 2 minutes, whole debate finished. Third one, Imam Shafi rahimahullah, the day Imam Hanifa passed away in 150, that's the day Imam Shafi was born in Gaza. When he started reading about Imam Hanifa and his works and his fatawa and all this, and when he came there to Baghdad and so forth, then he himself used to say, Imam Shafi, "An-nasu iyalun li Abi Hanifata fil fiqh," that people are children of Imam Abu Hanifa in fiqh. That's why I read the ayat first. لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. When I used to teach in Darul Newcastle, I said to give you all example, because sometimes it's easy to illustrate the point by example. I say the fuqaha is to cast their rod, you see, to pull out the knowledge, not pull out fish, to pull out the pearls of wisdom and knowledge. So Imam Hanifa, he used to cast very far in the ocean. So therefore, the ulama had to admit that this man, Allah gave him tafakku and ijtihad you can't dream of. Imam Malik used to say, if he tells you that this pillar here is made of cement and whatever, you understand, brick and whatever, but he tells you it's made of gold, then la atabihi dalilan, he'll convince you it's made of gold. He had so much dalail on all this kind of thing. You see? So that is how they appreciated him. You must remember that. Then you ask about his teachers. I give you the reference now. That Tariq al-A'zamiyya. In there is written Hamad. Imam Hamad was his teacher, main teacher. So you must remember, Baini wa Bainahu sab'aturuq. Between me, Abu Hanifa and Nu'man bin Thabit, rahimahullah, and Hamad, my beloved teacher, were seven streets, you know. He says, from the time I remember, not one day I can remember, I pointed my feet, I stretched out my feet in the direction of the house of my teacher. If they had so much respect for the teacher's house, then how much respect you'll have for Baytullah? How much respect you will have for Masjid Nabawi? And so, today people just, man khapla, beparwa, la yubali, you see. As go is a big jol going on, you understand? 90% of the ummah, 10% you can, 15% you can, majority is that. No respect for the Baytullah, no respect for Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The videos are on, the laughing, the joking, performing tawaf and cracking a joke and all that. One day I nearly gave two certificates, a smack while making tawaf. We started almost together, all seven rounds, they talking. So I told him, you don't have shame. Stood. I feel like giving one smack here, you know, and this type of things. Yeah. So that is the ummah today, you must remember this kind of things. Yeah. Hey, let's go. Stood. So therefore, this adab and all that is very big thing. So that's how they imbibe and acquire this knowledge and so forth. And then their parents, obviously, they were very pious people and so forth. Their income was halal. That's another big thing, you must remember. Our income today, our parents' income, what a big question mark there is on it. All polluted, contaminated. Now our children, grandchildren will eat from there and so forth. Then what taqwa are we talking about and all? It won't happen like that. So that is how they acquired the knowledge and so forth.
Mufti Sahib, with regards to the Hanafi madhab, what makes it different from the other madhab?
Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, you must remember that the Shafis concocted a hadith against Imam Abu Hanifa. They said there will be a person, you understood, against this ummah, and who adarru alal hadhil ummah min iblis and all that. Astaghfirullah. This is fabricated, they say it's hadith like that, and his name will be Abu Hanifa, you understood? Astaghfirullah. Then the Hanafis went and they also make some fabrication. Siraj ummati Abu Hanifa and all that. Now these are not authentic hadiths, these are all made up, you understand? So anyway, what you can say is authentic is this, that the Quran Kareem teaches us in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, you understood? Allah Ta'ala says, وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ in Surah Jumu'ah, Surah number 62. That Sahaba, a Sahaba, the companion students of Nabi alayhi salatu salam. But then Allah Ta'ala speaks of other group of people. And who are this other group? That they are the people who will come after you. They haven't seen you, but they believe in you. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah Ta'ala speaks of them, you must remember, in Surah 62, Suratul Jumu'ah. And verse number 3. You see that? So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the teacher. Sahaba are the students. The curriculum is the Quran Sharif and the tazkiyah, the tasawwuf, and the Quran Sharif, the reading of it, then the meaning of it, and then the sunnah. And then there's another group of people, minhum, from this ummah, lamma yalhaqu bihim. They haven't met you and you haven't met them. So there Salman Farsi was there. Salman Farsi lived for 250 years. So he's buried, you must remember, there in Iraq also. So we went to his Qabr Mubarak, alhamdulillah. So in Surah 62, verse 3, Salman Farsi was sitting there, so Nabi alayhi salam pointed, gestured to him. Lokan al-Iman, that Iman, you understand, is there at Suraya, that high star and that. Lana lahu ha'ulai, min abna'i Faris, and words like that come. So the people of Persia, they will go and receive that iman. So the first person to whom this ayat, meaning this hadith rather say, that this hadith is misdaq, is applicable on, is Salman Farsi. Then you go on and on, then it will come to Imam Abu Hanifa and everybody else. You understood? So that you can say. So if you open Mishkat, Musnad Ahmad, all that, you will find it there. So that is a virtue, there's no doubt about it, you see. So what makes the Hanafi fiqh unique? This is what makes Imam Abu Hanifa's madhab very, very unique. You must remember that. About four or five things about it makes it very unique. Before I come to that, for you, Mawzaid, this is paramount importance. You see, today we have to make tarbiyatul abna, tarbiyatul tulab, you see. So there was a youngster, his name Yaqub. Yaqub's father passed away, Ibrahim. Now he's a young boy, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, whatever, less than 10. His father passed away, yatim. So now the mother say, you must go work. No work, no pay, there's no money, you know. So children, one day he goes this route, one day this route, one day. So he said, okay, I see students sitting here, even go sit down there. And then he never went to for job. Then second day he don't go for job, he like the madrasa, you see. So the boss, he came to the mother. He said, on grounds of compassion, I put your youngster here, he can do some job. 2 days, 3 days, he don't come work. No work, no pay, from those days already. Mother furious. Now the youngster come by Imam Hanifa, you see. They say, nah, I'm no more coming. But in that 2 days, whatever, Imam Hanifa ne janch liya. He already assessed it, the abal, what you call in English, latent talent. Latent talent. The hidden talent this youngster has. He said, how much that person was paying you? They told the mother, you send him here, I'll pay the money. He's paying the money for his student to study, you see. So you come study here, and so he study, stay 18 years. He is what the world knows, Qazi Abu Yusuf. 18 years. One day, Imam Abu Hanifa told, no, now the story goes on. So Imam Abu Hanifa passes away. Now you must understand political scene also, 80-150. So the Umayyad dynasty finished up and the Abbasid dynasty started. You understood? Yeah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away 11th year. Khulafai Rashidin 41 year, 40 year like that. If you take Sayyidina Hassan then it's 41 year. Then the Umayyad dynasty started in 41. 90 years, then 130, we're looking at 131. So Imam Hanifa had 20 years plus minus of theirs also, you see, of the Abbasid Khilafat and so forth. So Harun Rashid's time. So his chief Qazi, Qazi al-Quzat, is he, Imam of Yusuf. So he's peeling the pistachio for Abu Yusuf, you see. Who? Khalifa Harun Rashid. For Bakar, Abu Yusuf. So he starts crying. He says, you on a royal banquet here, you are my guest and you cry. He says, Rahimallahu Abu Hanifa. Allah have mercy on Abu Hanifa. When I was so young, he told me, Abu Yusuf, Allah will make you such a giant that the rulers will feed you. You see? So today, if you tell our students all that, they'll tell you we're talking nonsense. Yesterday, I told Mufti Sahab this. I said, today, Hamare Talaba ke andar qadar hi nahi hai. It's the truth. They just come knock around, this, that, and everywhere, everywhere. 90% are Barkati students, you understand? They just play with the phone, play with this. So that's the time Imam Hanifa motivated him. He said, you, Allah is going to choose you. So here also there's two big lessons to learn. One is tarbiyah of the student from a young age and so forth. So he paid for him, but he made him a star. You understood? But Allah's help. The Hanafi fiqh, you ask the question, what is unique about it? Hanafi fiqh flourished. He was a member during the Abbasid dynasty. Because the chief justice was who? Imam Abu Yusuf. And he's the greatest student of Imam Abu Hanifa. Then the Hanafi fiqh became more famous when you had the Khilafat Usmaniyah. The Ottoman Empire for 600 years plus. Khilafat Abbasiyah was 500 years plus. And the Mazhab during the Ottoman Empire for the whole Ummah, not cities and countries, continents, was the Hanafi fiqh. And the book, if you know, is called Al-Majalla. So you must remember that. That was the fiqh they would apply and so forth and so on. So that is how the Hanafi, till today, the Hanafi fiqh is the most predominant in the world. You must remember. Whether Salafis like, don't like, that's their business. Jahalat actually of theirs. So you must remember that is Imam Hanifa's karamat. You must remember these kind of things there. That we, so therefore, to have great students is a great bounty of Allah. You understand? They ask the question, who's greater, Faqih Lays is greater or Imam Shafi is greater? They say Faqih Lays is greater. But his knowledge got wasted, he never had good students. You understood? Imam Shafi had good students, and then so his whole fiqh got, you must remember, preserved. You see. Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, what makes him so great? You got Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, you got Ibn Kathir and all these people, all his students. So that is what made him also so great. So there's a big bounty. So you have, you become a sheikh and you have great students also. Really dedicated, devoted, not that only going to knock around and waste time and all that. So they prepared to make sacrifice and so forth and so on. So that is a thing. You must remember these two things, man. Another thing that makes Hanafi fiqh very unique is not the fiqh of one person or two people and so forth. When they should discuss the Hanafi, Sheikh Zayed al-Kawthari wrote a whole book on the fiqh of Ahli al-Iraq. Therefore, Imam Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, I don't take Imam Hanifa's name normally. He'll say, وَقَالَ بَعْدُ أَهْلِ الْكُوفَةِ وَقَالَ أَهْلُ الْكُوفَةِ. So he's referring to the Hanafis, 99%. One, two places, but 90% refers to them. So why it was a fiqh of fuqaha? 30 fuqaha, 40 fuqaha, they would discuss, academic discussion, munaqasha. You see, what happens this case, what happens this case, what happens this case. Therefore, in the Hanafi fiqh, you will find the more juz'iyat. You understood? What happens in this scenario, what happens in that scenario. So that is what is called fiqh ahli al-Iraq. Quick two stories I'll give you on this. You understand? Imam Hanifa, let me give you what Imam Shafi, I told you, he said, An-Nasu Iyalul Yabi Hanifa fil fiqh. These Shafis today, some of them also. How Hanafis? You find some crazy Hanafis. So much ta'assub, you'll understand. That every Masla of Hanifas is right, everybody else is wrong. That's wrong also. We don't agree with that. So how you can say every Masla of Hanifa is right and every Masla Shafi, Malik, Ambali are wrong? We don't accept that. So you must, there's ghulu now. You're going to another extreme. Imam Shafi, rahimahullah, if you study his halat, his biography, sometimes you get stuck. Now what did he do? He go there when he's in Baghdad by Imam Hanifa's qabr. He make dua, Ya Allah, wasila. Teach me this masla. This is the faqih that's sleeping yesterday, resting here. Allah will teach him that. See? So when he came to, he performed 55 hajj, Imam Hanifa. So when he went, Imam Malik was teaching. He don't know who's Malik. Malik doesn't know who's he. They never met before. So then all the students went away. He said them. So Imam Malik asked, Min Ain? He said, Min Iraq. So he said, Imam Malik said, Ahlul Iraq, Ahlul Nifaq. He said, Ahlul Iraq, Ahlul Nifaq. The people of Iraq, normally the munafiqin. See, genius. So Imam, he doesn't know this is Nu'man, right? Imam Hanifa. So he told him, I want to read Quran by you now. So he said, read. So he came. So he started reading, you understood? So he opened the Quran Sharif, and he started, oh, he read by heart, you understood? So he read the verses, you understood? So this is the verse he started reading. So you said, O Malik, Ahlul Iraq, Ahlul Nifaq. You see, you won't be a genius to do all these kind of things here. So he read now. So he read the ayat Surah 9, verse 100, you see? And then about Sahaba and all that. Then he read the Quran says, Surah 9, verse 101, وَمِنْ أَهَلِ الْمَدِينَةِ And some people of Medina, مَرَدُوا أَلَى النِّفَاقِ That they continue and they persist with their nifaq. لَا تَعْلَمُهُمْ You don't know them, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. نَحْنُ نَعْلَمُهُمْ So we know them, and we're going to punish them double. So he, Abu Hanifa, Imam Hanifa, he read, وَمِنَ أَهَلِ الْإِرَاقِ مَرَدُوا عَلَى النِّفَاقِ So Imam Malik looked at him, you see, Anta Abu Hanifa. He said, yes. He said, only you can think of doing this. Understood? So he asked for forgiveness. He said, mistake.
I can't say that Ahlul Iraq, Ahlul Nifaq. Allah is saying Ibaratun Nas, Nasiqat'i. Some people in Madiya, they are munafiqeen. You see that? So then he said, this man is a real genius giant. That was their first mulaqat in Madinah Munawwara. You must remember. So then when you study these people, what knowledge Allah blessed them with and so forth. So therefore, the Hanafi fiqh, you must remember. Another point also, quickly, while we're at it. Then we can discuss some objections people raise against Imam Hanifa and the fiqh. So after the break. So you see, Imam Abu Hanifa's fiqh, it was so great in this sense, it was the great, it was, they were mufassirin there, they were muhaddisin there, they were fuqaha there, they were all these type of people, you know, and so forth. So that is how Imam Hanifa's fiqh flourished also. Therefore, it's not called fiqh of Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, it's called fiqh of Ahlul Iraq. You understood? The Iraqi fiqh and so forth. And if you look at the chain, so Imam Hanifa's teacher is who? Hammad. Hammad's teacher is Ibrahim Nakhi. Ibrahim Nakhi's teacher is Al-Qama and Aswad. Al-Qama and Aswad are two students. And then their student teacher is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud's teacher is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is like a golden chain. Yeah. Every one day is a faqih. So therefore, when Ozai, you see in the whole of Pakistan, no madrasa used to teach Musnad Abi Hanifa. So our Ustad Hazrat Mohana Aziz Ahmad Bihari, who taught Mohana Qasim Sema in 1937, taught me in 79, 1980, and I'm the only one he taught in this sense after that he retired. So I asked the other students, did you study? He said, no, I understood. So, and he used to like me also. He gave me that letter, I told you all to go to Darul Uloom and all that. Remember? So all that, so he said, I must teach this, but there's no imtihan. So students used to don't come. But we used to go. I never missed, alhamdulillah, any lesson, you understand, in hadith. Whole 10 kitabs we did in Dora, Mishkat, never missed one lesson also, alhamdulillah. So Allah, so there in Musnad Abi Hanifa, this was a nice discussion. One day, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Ozai, they met in Hajj. So they said, let's debate. So what masla? Raful Yadain masla. So Ozai give the famous one, Malik and Nafiyad ibn Umar and all that, you must make Rafa Yadain and all that. So he gave Imam Hanifa his senate, you understood, about this Ibrahim Nakhi and about this Al-Qama and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and this and this. So for everyone, Imam Ozai mentioned, he said, it's right, he's muhaddis. So you see, the senate I got is atwal, is longer than that. Your senate is Ali. But my sanad is afqah. Understood? The hadith I'm bringing, compare you, Ozai. Imam Ozai is no small person. I went to his grave also. Imam Ozai, his mazhab ran for 8 centuries. He's buried there in Beirut. He was known as Imam Ahli Sham. So he's no small person. He's a giant of his time. There's a different thing today. Ulama are not interested in this. If students, even ulama, the majority are speaking about. So then he kept quiet. He said, this man got beyond this point. Your sanad, as far as hadith go, is right. They are greater. But as far as fiqh goes, so there, and I remember the words he said, wa Abdullah huwa Abdullah. You understood? Abdullah al-Mas'ud is faqih wa hadhil ummah. Nobody can touch him, like, you understand. So he told him, wa Abdullah huwa Abdullah. So that is kamal. So you have to be a master of tafsir, of hadith, of fiqh and all. You can only become a faqih if you know Quran and hadith. Otherwise, how you can become a faqih? You can't become, you must remember. So these are things that now you tell these guys, today they'll tell you that all waqia is a lie. These Salafi guys. You must remember this type of things. So these are things you must remember. You see, this nice hadith, you did it also there in Darul Uloom Zakariya. When Hazrat was teaching us, I was also there. So whether you were in a class that time or not, I don't know, was it before you or after you? So last week's lecture, I quoted it. I stayed in the majlis. I said, Nabi alayhi salam said, Al-Hasood la yasood. It is Sahih hadith. Al-Hasood la yasood. Maqasid hasana wa allama sakhawi. When people have a lot of jealousy, then Allah Ta'ala don't take them to great heights. You understand? Don't make them a sayyid. Don't make them a leader. Don't make them high. Because the world time, the burning was jealousy. So Imam Hanifa, his rank is so high. Now what these here, lallu panjus, you understand? The small guys here want to come. So nubahul kilab la yaduru sahab. The barking of the dogs, what is it to harm the clouds? Like this kuffar Shia, they attack Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar and Sayyidina Usman and Sayyidina Aisha. They are higher than the clouds. Now you like the dogs, you Shia, so what you going to harm them? You're not going to harm them anything. You harm yourself. So Allah took work from all of them. Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah, and all of them. You must remember that. You understood? But it doesn't mean that is wahi. Everything is ijtihad. You must remember that. So ijtihad, sometimes you'll be right, sometimes you'll be wrong also. But you'll get reward for it. You understand? Man ijtahada fa asaba falaw ajran. So that is the thing we must understand. A lot of things were based on ijtihad, so I must remember that. But me and you can't do ijtihad, say I'm making ijtihad. But you don't even know 10,000 ahwat, you don't even know 1,000 hadiths properly, 500 hadiths you don't know. You only speak about ijtihad and all that. It's like a guy who read, you know, saying Reader's Digest, some medical book, you know, Reader's Digest, medical. He said, no, me, I'm a surgeon, let me start operating. Everybody will send to the graveyard, you understand? So it's like that today, you must remember.
Inshallah, we'll carry on with this interesting discussion after the break.
صوت أهل السنة والجماعة صوت مركز الصحابة
أهلا وسهلا مرحبا
مركز الصحابة online radio empowering the ummah
Respected listeners of Sirius FM in Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we return to this program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madhahib al-Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. We are discussing Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi's life and contributions. Mufti Sahab, a question here. We do not reject Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi's greatness, but in the same token, we accept the other three madhahib. So why can't we accommodate all in one and formulate one madhab?
That is like saying, you understand, that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had ikhtilaf and difference on some issues, so we must compile everything. So you'll make a bigger mess than anything else. So you must remember that is a futile exercise. There's no need to reinvent the wheel. إِنَّمَا اخْتَلَفُوا لِأَجْلِ الْحَقِّ وَمَا اخْتَلَفُوا فِي الْحَقِّ They differed for the sake of truth and so forth. So anybody who says, today you must take all four and you must remember, so only a ajhal, a jahil person can talk like that, you must remember, because Allah wants, you must remember, their difference of opinion must remain. Why? Because you must remember, halat and conditions will change, you must remember this type of things. Therefore, we all agree, if there is such zarurat and such necessity, certain thing may not be permissible in the Hanafi school, but Shafi school, Maliki school is permissible, then we pass the fatwa on that. Certain thing will not be permissible in the Shafi school and Maliki school, Hanbali school, then you pass the fatwa on the Hanafi school. So different things will happen still in this world. So therefore this ikhtilaf and so forth is a great bounty and favor of Almighty Allah, and never is it on fundamental issues, it's always on subsidiary, secondary issues. Al ikhtilaf fil furu, not ikhtilaf in usul and so forth. Okay, what I want to answer now in the last 5-6 minutes is very important. Objections on Imam Abu Hanifa. The Shias, when I went to Iran, so they got the book. This book I bought there, you understood? They didn't give me free, so I had to go buy it. So, Al Fiqhu Alal Madahib Al Khamsa. So the Shias say, it's right, Imam Abu Hanifa, then Imam Malik, then Imam Shafi, then Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. But who's above Imam Abu Hanifa? Al-Imam Ja'far Sadiq. You must remember that he's the great teacher of Imam Abu Hanifa. So they even concocted one sentence, which many of our Sunnis write in their book, but there's no tahqiq, you see. They just write things, you know. You see the Jutlas, you see Netanyahu who spoke yesterday. All haramis. He said that the Hamas are stealing the food and so forth. And so forth. So, and there's prostitutes and prostitutes clapping hands and all that. So, because every time they clap hands, they get $1 million like that, you know, and all that. So, anyway, the point I want to make, you must lie so much that people think is the truth. So, the sentence they concocted, Lawla sanatan lahalaka ay nu'man. Lawla sanatan lahalaka nu'man. So the 2 years Imam Abu Hanifa said, had I not spent by Jafar Sadiq, then I should be destroyed. All lies this is. Where Imam Abu Hanifa spent 2 years by him, by Jafar Sadiq? Most to most, he heard 2 hadiths from him. So that was something common. Imam Bukhari used to hear hadith from Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Then he hears students, for his own student teach him a hadith and so forth, you must remember. So that whole sentence is a concoction and fabrication and propaganda of the Kufar Shia. But the ajeeb thing is this, even yesterday I told Mufti Sahib, yeh toh kamal ki baat hai, you know, hamare tafsir mein bhi, hamare hadith mein bhi, hamare fiqh mein bhi, yeh shi'o ke jaraseem sab jagah ghus gaya. So everywhere the Shias in our tafsir kitab, in our aqaid kitab, in our fiqh kitab, hadith kitab, you will find you some jarasim, some germs of these Shias. So that is a lie, all that. You must remember that. First thing that. Second one is, if you say it happened, then show us where he spent the 2 years. You understood? So manid da'ashayan fa'alay dalil. So that. Second one, the Salafis, they say Imam Abu Hanifa never wrote a book and so forth. And he never wasn't a master of hadith and so forth. This is normally the Salafis' objection. So not writing a book don't mean, you must remember, you know, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, how many ahadith he knew and he quoted it? Very few. You take Sayyidina Abu Huraira, he came so many years after that. So he, 5,374. Imam Abu Bakr is not even 200. It's 150, 120, 140, 100. So it shows that that is not a valid argument. You must remember. What Imam Abu Hanifa did, there's one kitab, we used to teach it in Darulum, Newcastle. I don't know if they're teaching it now. You must remember that. So on the Aqidah, you must remember this. So that kitab, there's dispute, is Nusiba ila Abu Hanifa. You understand? Ila Abu Hanifa and so forth. So whether it is or not. But that's not, he was the grand master. That he was preparing his students, you go and do work on fiqh. You go and do work on hadith. You go do work on aqidah. You go and do work on tazkiyah. So he was the master, the great. For Imam Shafi had to say that annasu yalun bi hadith. So see, I teach you something, and this is what the Salafis don't understand. The book's name is called Al Fiqh Al Akbar. You see that? So Imam Abu Hanifa said Al Fiqh Al Akbar is what your aqidah. Your belief system has to be firm and 100%. You must remember that. Then you have al-fiqhul awsat. You must remember your other branches of knowledge and so forth. So how we interact with people, how we're going to treat our wife, how we're going to treat our non-Muslims, how we're going to do all that. So all that will be al-fiqhul awsat. Then al-fiqhul asghar will be all your secondary masail and all these type of things. So he broke it up to teach the people we must learn. So his definition of fiqh did not include, you must remember, only masla masail. No. His definition of fiqh, ma'rifatu nafsi ma'alaha wa ma'alaya. There's a definition Imam Abu Hanifa made of fiqh. Now, if you ask the Salafis, this is the first time in their life they hear all these kind of things. So you must remember this. So he made the definition of fiqh, the entire deen of Islam. Hmm. And then he prepared one whole group of people. And his greatest students, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad becomes the teacher of Imam Shafi'i. Imam Shafi'i in Musnadu Shafi'iyah mentioned Imam Muhammad's name 7 times. So you must remember these kind of things. Yeah. So, and then you got Imam Zufar, you got Imam Ziyad and all the Hassan bin Ziyad like that. And then you see it goes down and that. If you just take the Indo-Pak ulama today, in hadith, what khidmat they're making, you understood? Very few people feel. Hazrat Sheikh Hazrat Mawaz Zakariya, what khidmat he made of hadith? Every alim in the world has to recognize it. In Arabic I'm speaking about. Leave all the Urdu and all the kind of things there. So you just take his work on Hajj and Umrah. The actual book is in Arabic. The Juz'u, Hajjatul Wida wa Umratul Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he wrote it in 3 days. Me and you can take 3 years, we won't write a book like that. You must remember this type of things. Yeah. Besides all the work on Bukhari Sharif and Tirmidhi and all the others, Mu'tamar Malik and all this type of things. So that is what you say. You must remember these kind of things. Yeah. So we must appreciate the great work that was done. I saw myself, how many Arab students used to come to Sheikh Yunus, you must remember, Hazrat Sheikh's great Khalifa and Sheikhul Hadith, and that he left in the 70s for Medina and then appointed him. They used to come to take sunnat by him. They said, you are the big Sheikh of Hadith today and so forth. So like that, you must remember that. In the Arab world, there are giants. There's no doubt about it. Even today, I tell you 100 times, Sheikh Umar Falata, and then 49 years he taught Hadith in Masjid Nabawi. African Alim used to kiss his hand and so forth. Kiss his forehead and so. So like that, there are giants, you must remember. Sheikh Obama is there sitting in Turkey and all. So so many there are. So we mustn't have that tunnel vision. You must remember only our India Park or only Arab. Take the good from all, you must remember. But don't be a crazy guy and now you start criticizing Imam Abu Hanifa, criticizing Imam Malik, criticizing Imam Shafi, criticizing Imam Ahmad and so. You say, no, this Hazrat Sheikh Kitab Fazail Amal, all weak hadith and all maudu, take it and burn it, finish and clap. So then I say, okay, I'll put it one side. I'm asking you, when Imam Bukhari Rahimullah wrote his Sahih Bukhari 16 years, so then you say Sahih, we accept. When he wrote Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, then when I went to meet Sheikh Albani, I told him I got $1,000 in my pocket, I don't want to buy book, you must give me. He started laughing, he was very sick, but he started smiling. So he told that Khadim, give him this. So he gave me Tahrim Al-Alat Al-Turb and gave me Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, 2 volumes. The Sahih wal Adab al Mufrad and the Da'if wal Adab. So you say, Salafi, we must take Imam Hanifa's, Shazad Sheikh's Kitab and this Fazail and just throw away, burn it, Allah forbid. So then I must do the same thing with the Da'if wal Adab al Mufrad also. Isn't it so? He said, la, 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 la. So I said, Tilka izan khismatun fiza, sa'ama tahkumun. That one you want to burn and destroy, why you don't want to burn this one? It shows your jahalat, you don't understand what is hadith and so forth. When it comes to aqa'id and ahkam, then you need ahadith sahiha, hasan ahadith and all. But it comes to fada'il, you can use weak ahadith also. Not maudu. You can use weak ahadith. That is what Imam Bukhari is teaching you. You understood? So like that, we must learn all this. So take the good from everybody. That is what we say. You understand? Do me a blind follower. Allah basiratin ana wa manittabani. But you must learn. Today people want to become doctors, professors and all that in Islam, but they don't even know the basics of Islam. So that is the big problem. So chalo, we'll carry on next week with Imam Malik rahimahullah, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.